Welcome to the program today. My name is Keith Smith, and I'm an instructor at Calvary Chapel Bible Ministry School, La Mirada. And we're glad you've joined us today as Pastor Brian continues in his study on the gift of prophecy. And yesterday, Pastor Brian began laying the foundation for the study. And today, Pastor Brian exhorts us to pursue the gifts that God has given us. So let's go to Pastor Brian from the pulpit of Calvary Chapel, La Mirada.
We all need to pursue after these gifts that the Lord has placed in our heart, but maybe they have not been manifested through our lives yet. And as we do that, the body of Christ is going to grow and increase spiritually. And we're going to see the working of God in a more powerful way than we are now. And I long for that. And I believe you do as well. And that's why you're here. That God's stirring that within our heart. So I want you to really contemplate those areas: prayer, fellowship, and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. It's like we can't pick and choose. I agree with that prayer one. That's right, Pastor. No, I think it's all these that God is wanting to bring about, to bring His fullness here. We're after that perfect will of God. Although, yes, of course, we're going to fall short as a church, as an individual. That's what we're pursuing after. And that means I need everything that God has available to me to bring that about and see that worked in my life. So, first of all, just looking at that privilege. It's by the grace. You are what you are in the body of Christ by the grace. But also I want to stress, it's also a responsibility or a duty that God places on you when He gives you a gift. He doesn't give you a gift to let it lie dormant. It's only powerful, it's only grace when it works through your life and touches somebody else. Because it does the body of Christ no good if it resides within you and just stays there. Simple example. I do believe, and I hope you would agree, that God's given me the ability to teach. Now I could get up here and just kind of stand here. To say, oh, I studied so hard thinking to myself and all these things that I learned, and who's going to get blessed? I may have been blessed in the process because I was studying, but you're not going to receive anything if I just stand here. Well, I just stood here for 45 minutes. So hopefully you'd leave. You'd think, this guy's lost it. But would that bless anybody? Well, that's the same thing that happens when God distributes grace into your life, a gift, and it just stays there. Although teaching may be a little more obvious, but it's the same exact principle. There's going to be a lack. There's going to be something that didn't happen in that service or in that time you were with another brother or sister in Christ because you held that gift in. Listen to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16, where it says, it's talking about the body of Christ. It says, every joint supplies according to the effective working. And I like this phrase, by which every part does its share. Every part does its share. Here's the result, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. When every part does its share, the body of Christ increases. Now, if 50% are doing their share, then there's only a 50% increase. Or 10% or 20%. If it's 100%, we're going to experience the fullness of what God has sown in our hearts by His grace. That's the responsibility that we have so that the body of Christ could come to the fullness of what the Lord is wanting to do. So, go back to verse 6 there of Romans 12. He says, God's given you this grace. These gifts are differing. None of them are alike. I may have an ability to teach, but someone's going to teach it a different way. Someone may have the gift of mercy, but it's going to be demonstrated. That grace is going to flow through that person's life in different ways. So there's truly no one gift exactly alike. Although it may be the same gift, it's manifested through our lives in a different fashion. That's why everybody is needed. So they're differing. He says, according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. That's pretty simple. And the translators had to add that phrase in, let us use them. Because that's the gist of what Paul is saying. God's poured this grace into you, now use it. That is our responsibility. And that means that we have to have a transformed mind, as we looked at in Romans 12, 1 and 2, that God's placed me in the body of Christ, and He's gifted me, and I didn't earn this gift, it's by His grace, and He wants me to use that gift to bless others. That's what church is all about, rather than centering around me in my life, and I hope the message all centers around what's happening with me. And we get so self-centered in our Christianity rather than others-centered. And that's the problem. And you live that way as a Christian, you're going to be weak. Jesus said, He was not one that came to be served, but to serve and give His life as a ransom for many. He wants us to follow in that footsteps. If you want to experience what Christianity is all about, it's not just gimme, 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 gimme. It's received from God so that you could give out to others. So you need to use that gift and touch others. And the only time it's really grace operating is when it's being applied to someone else's life. And that's the mindset that I do believe that we need to have. And I don't think it's optional. Again, think about it. The eternal God of the universe put something in your life. Who are you to say, well, I don't like that one? Or not to use it or to quench off what God's wanting to work through your life. We need to be submissive and let Him work through our lives. And in the process, you know what begins to happen? You're the one that starts getting blessed. Because if you're involved in ministry, you know what begins to happen? Satan takes his big darts and boom, he flings them at you. I mean, you can sit in the pew and you'll get little troubles, but you say, oh, maybe I'll be an usher and watch out. All literally hell is going to break loose on your life. And you know what's going to happen? You're going to say, well, I don't want any of this. This seems too hard. I was doing better off just sitting there. All of a sudden, when I want to do something for the Lord, now my life's a mess. People at work are angry at me. Unbelieving relatives don't like me. And so it's easy just to crawl back in the pew and say, feed me, feed me, feed me. But you know what happens? You start seeing how weak you are. And as God humbles you, you say, God, help me. And you begin to experience His grace. You begin to experience His power working through your life. And He's the one that sustains you in that ministry because it's by the grace of God. And there's a freshness because you begin to start praying, oh, God, help me to be faithful because I want to be used by You in a greater way. You know, I know that is one of the privileges of being a pastor, because as you go out around in the public, in the community, you realize that you're going to run into people. I run into people everywhere. So I can't do anything wrong. I get caught, you know, people watching me. And people recognize me often before I recognize them. So I'm at the disadvantage. So I'm going to be in the store and all people follow me. It's like, they're checking up on me. I realize that there's eyeballs everywhere, and that is good. There's a little bit of a pressure there saying, don't step out of line. Don't ruin your testimony. Don't ruin the name of Jesus Christ. Maybe some visitor that came here one time, and, oh, there's that pastor. Let's see. And it's like, God, help me to walk this straight line. Inside the church, outside the church, in my home. And there's a pressure, but it's good because I want to be used by the Lord. So my prayer is, God, keep me faithful so You could increase what You want to do in my life. And I think that's a benefit. That responsibility that you sense, because you want to be used in greater capacities. And when that pressure's not there, it's just easier to kind of flounder around a bit. You're not quite as sharp, and you begin to, well, you know, it's just easier to fudge a little bit, you may call it. But when you realize that you're involved in ministry, that pressure and conviction of the Spirit of God is right there, quick to bring that conviction. So there's tremendous blessings. And I'd also like to say, we notice the stress on the grace of God here. The gifts are by grace. And I believe the continuing in ministry is by grace. And God sustains you by His grace. And this is one of the ways you could check if something isn't quite right with your own heart. Or maybe you're not in the right ministry. I mean, you're always grumbling and complaining. Something's not right. I'm not saying that ministry is going to be easy. Actually, it's harder. But also God gives you an extra measure of grace to sustain the blows and to sustain the difficulties. And yes, you get tired, and yes, there's frustrations, but yet you don't get a grumbling spirit. If you get a grumbling spirit, you're in the flesh and you're operating in your own strength and might. Or you're in the wrong spot. Because God doesn't want some grumpy servant. Oh, okay, I'll do this. You know, what's that all about? God wants you to be cheerful. And the scripture, Jesus, you know, after the servant went and worked all day in the field, he doesn't sit down to the master, oh, get me some lunch. He says, we say we're unprofitable servants just doing what we're commanded. And so there's a joy in serving, and there should be. Again, there's those seasons that are real difficult and hectic. That's true. But when you're in the right spot, God gives you the grace to